guys good? You ready to jump into the Word of God? And I'm excited about what God's put on my heart. The title of this message is, He Makes All Things New. Can you shout the word new? Since I have our young people in, our Jube kids in here this morning, I know they're going to be able to help me. So young people, shout the word new. Oh, that was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. Hey, open your Bibles, you guys. Go to John 3, verse 7. I'm not going to preach long, but I am going to preach strong, I promise you. And so one of the things that, as I was thinking about this message this morning, my wife, if she was here, she would tell you she loves new things. Me, not so much. I will wear out a pair of shoes. I will wear out a t-shirt. Does anybody, mainly the guys primarily, maybe the ladies, does anybody have like a favorite t-shirt? Like, it is so old, it has holes in it. I have one of those shirts. I'm a big Stephen Curtis Chapman fan. Are there any Stephen Curtis Chapman fans wow, not very many, but that's okay. Huge Stephen Curtis Chapman fan. And I've seen him in concert many times, and I happened to get one of his shirts. Literally, it was from like 20 years ago, so I'm starting to date myself. That thing has holes in it. It's got rips in it. I mean, it just wears well. It just wears well. I mean, you put it on, it just wears well. And then finally, my wife, unfortunately, she was cleaning out my drawers because that's a very painful and not a very prioritized experience for me. She found this shirt and she holds it up. And she asked a question that no man ever wants to hear about their spiritual t-shirts. Why do you have this? Can any guys relate? Why do you have this shirt? Because it's special. Amen? No, I'm going to get you some new shirts. I don't want a new shirt. I want this shirt. Guess who won that battle, y'all? She did. It got tossed in the proverbial trash. It didn't even get taken. It didn't even get recycled, y'all. It went in the trash. And so with that as the context of the message about all things new, how many know God also wants to take out the trash in our life? Amen? He doesn't want us holding on to things that are worn and torn and beaten and battered. He wants you and I to take out the old. Only He can do that. Amen? Only He can do that. In John, let me talk about the need for new. In John 3:7, the gospel says, Jesus says, you and I must be born again. So in other words, the need for new this morning is not just I want to become a new person. I want to become a better man or a better wife or a better son or daughter or whatever. The need is very clear. Jesus says you and I must be born again. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Sounds like all of us, amen? Tim, that's not very encouraging. Well, hold on. It gets better. It says you used to live in sin. I thought you said this is going to get better. Hold on, it will. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, he's real, amen? The commander of the powers in the unseen world, for he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, somebody shout all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of a sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Somebody shout, but God. I love when the Bible inserts this. But God, He is so rich in mercy. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead, even though we were dead, because of what? Because of our sins. The case I am making to everyone in the sound of my voice, whether you're watching online or in the room this morning, the case that I'm making is that you and I, we are dead because of our sins. So therefore, we need a Savior. We need somebody to bring us back to life, to become new. And so here's the good part, that even though we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. Praise God. In other words, I don't have to stay in my deadness. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for life today? I'm thankful that I no longer have to be defined by the deadness, by my sins and my past, but I have become alive to what is new. Not for anything I've done, y'all, because what he's done. The Bible talked about it in Ephesians. Paul said, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ himself, we have become alive. Open your Bible now to Isaiah 43. Take a hard left turn. God loves new, y'all. God loves making things new. God loves when you and I come from being dead to becoming alive. Amazing scripture. Isaiah 43. You should underline this in your Bible. It says, but forget all that. Forget about it. Forget about it. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. This is God talking. For I am about to do something. What's that word, y'all? New. Shout it. What's that word? For I am about to do something new. Forget where I've been. Forget what I've done. Forget all the mess that I've had to walk through. And get ready for something new. And it says, see, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Whatever is next is better. Whatever is next in you and all's, when you and I, when we walk out of this room, when we take that next step, whatever that next is, it's going to be better oftentimes than what's behind us. Amen? What happens a lot of times for you and I as believers is that we don't grab a hold of that scripture. And so we stay stuck. The greatest barrier for you and I to becoming new is oftentimes what's behind us. We revel oftentimes. We wear that label so proud. We wear that deadness that Ephesians talked about so proud. But what Isaiah is saying, what the Lord is saying to you and I this morning is, forget about it. Forget about it. Set it back. Set it behind you. Whatever is next is better. See, we don't have to know the how of how God is going to do the next in our life. We just need to make sure that we know who is. Did you catch that? I don't need to, because sometimes we get wrapped around the axle. If God doesn't do it a certain way, if God doesn't move by this time and by this place and by this person, if God doesn't use this and this and this and this, but the Bible doesn't say how he's going to do it. He just wants you and I to focus on him. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. He's the one that's going to take care of the deadness in my life. He doesn't need you and I's help. I don't know about you, but I am notorious for helping God. Anybody else? God gives you a promise. God speaks to you. God, in a very small, still voice, he gives you a word. And then inevitably, Tim will help God make that come to pass. And it is 100% guaranteed money back. I will mess it up. Does anybody have that testimony this morning? But what Isaiah, what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah is, hey, listen, it's not going to be the way that I used to do things. God's not going to do the way I brought you out of Egypt previously. God's not going to rescue you all the time by parting the sea. God's not always going to rescue you this way. It's focus on him. He makes all things new. Don't get stuck in the methods. Don't get stuck in the methodologies. Don't get stuck in the how. Get focused on the who. I want to share this with you because I believe the devil's a liar, by the way. Amen. Nothing good comes out of his mouth. Nothing. You can always measure the voice of the enemy. You can always measure his wanting to hold you back from the new that God wants to experience by him always reminding you of your past. Always does. That's why things like social media are so powerful. when you and I are going through our Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be, wherever you access content, that content can take us back to the way that we used to be. And it opens up a door of opportunity. I've heard many, many people get trapped by opening up that part of your life that you laid at this altar, shed tears at this altar to say, God, I give it all. And then Susie comes across your Facebook path and then you open it back up. Memories are powerful, y'all. The past is powerful. But I got good news for you this morning. God says that He makes all things new. So in other words, I can leave my past in the past behind me. So this is my declaration. We were in prayer on Tuesday night. And God laid this song, Do It Again by Elevation Worship, on my heart. And it just talks about through that song that God, you moved once. God, you'll do it again. God, you moved mountains once. God, you'll do it again. God, you've rescued my heart. You've done it. God, you can save me. God, you can rescue me. And man, we just started filling this auditorium with that song. And it reminded me, God, all about the new. I'm thankful for I believe the valleys in our life. I believe the tough times in our life teach us something. Can I have an amen? I believe the tough times that you and I will walk through, are walking through, I believe they can shape us and form us. But I'm also thankful about the new times, the new mountaintops experiences. God, will you do it again for every single man, woman, and child on the sound of my voice this morning? God, will you make the old things new this morning? I've got a quick acronym I want you to write down. N-E-W. What does that spell, y'all? New. Here you go. I try to make it as easy as possible for you and I to remember the new things in our life. God gave this to me. He said, first of all, in the word new represents God gives us a new name. Write that down. Our old names include abandoned, forgotten, overlooked, offended, victim, unworthy. Identity is always the number one killer of every man, every woman, and the sound of my voice this morning is your identity. That's why identity theft in the natural is the number one thing that's stolen from our goods. That's why when your identity gets stolen, I don't know about you, if you've ever had your identity stolen. A few years ago, my wife and I, we were getting ready to file our taxes, which by the way, that's coming up real soon. We're getting ready to file our taxes, and all of a sudden through the IRS, we got a $5,200 check. Can anybody say praise God? I thought you'd get a little more excited about that. We got a $5,200 check. And we're thinking, that's awesome, but we haven't filed our taxes yet. That's a problem. Somebody had hacked our identity. Someone had filed they'd filed taxes on our behalf, got a refund, tried to change the bank account in which the $5,200 gets dropped in. But thank God, the ironclad bureaucracy of our federal government, they didn't do that. Instead, they mailed it. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, I was praying, Lord, do I deposit a $5,200 check? Come on, you know you're thinking the same thing. You're like, what do I do with, oh God, this is manna from heaven. Oh Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing a new thing. You know you do the same thing. Some of y'all spiritual folks, you're like, no. I was really debating whether to deposit or not. I said, this is not good, y'all. So, of course, I call up the IRS, and they said, well, you've been hacked. Someone has gotten your Social Security numbers. Someone has gotten your address. Someone has gotten your identity, and they are posing as you all. And I'm telling you, it has been like pulling teeth trying to just do the simple things by filing your taxes ever since then. You got to get a PIN number. It's get repeated every year. You got to prove how you do. You got to give them your social security number again. We had to change cards. Da, 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 da. When someone steals your identity, it is not good. Amen? When you and I trade our identity for what God says I am, it is not good. But I thank God he's given us a new name. That I no longer have to be called. I no longer have to be labeled by the things that's in my past. All through the scripture, God takes the opportunity to rename people. Abram turned into Abraham, the father of many. Simon turned into Peter, the rock. Saul into Paul. All through the Bible, it talks about different people that God changed their name to reflect the new in them. Can I have an amen? God changes the old name, the old nature, the old man for the new. All through the Bible, we're called a lot of different things. We're called conquerors. We're called brothers. We're called servants. We're called leaders. We're called sisters. We're called a lot of things. But at the end of the day, one of the most powerful things that you and I can ever grab a hold of, please, if you don't hear anything else, one of the most powerful things that you and I can grab a hold of today is this truth. God calls us, if you are new in Christ, he calls us son and daughter. He calls you son and daughter. For you see, God calls us holy, pure, unstained, without blemish. He sees you and I through the lens of the cross. He sees you and I through the lens of him sending his son, dying on a cross, shedding his blood, the song we sang. He sees you and I through the lens of a tomb that is empty this morning. Amen? He sees you and I through a lens of what's possible instead of what you struggle with. He sees you and I through his eyes in terms of what you can become instead of what you have become. Man, I thank God he never gave up on you and I. I thank God that when we were yet dead, he made us alive. For you see, we are sons and daughters of God, not because of what we have done, but because of what he's done. Can I say that one more time? We are sons and daughters of God, not because of what I've done or what you've done. It's because of what he has done. With all the promises that come along with being a son and a daughter, the most important thing for you and I is to find out our identity in Christ and believe it. We talked about this, and our men on Wednesday night, Craig Lawrence did just an incredible message on Wednesday night. I want to invite all the men, 7 o'clock this Wednesday night. We unlock something in the hearts and the lives of our men in this house around becoming a son, around becoming a father, and around being a brother. I want to invite all the men at 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday night. We're going to meet across the street. If you've never been to one of our Men's Connect, I'm telling you, this is radically going to change your life. Identity. God has to write a new name over you. Ladies, on Tuesday night at 6:30, don't miss it this week. God is writing a new name on the sons and the daughters of our house this morning. It's time for you and I just to believe it, for you and I to walk in it, for you and I to accept that somehow, some way, despite you and I, God still calls you son. God still calls you daughter. No matter how far you and I run, no matter what we have in our lives, he calls us son, he calls us daughter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing, so N stands for a new name. E in the word new. It stands for eternal address. In other words, the Bible says in Revelation, I believe it's 21, John was so excited about what God was speaking. went through all this, and I don't have time to preach it this morning. But Revelation is just chock full of all of what the what how this thing is going to wrap up. By the way, Jesus is coming back. Amen. It's just chock full of all the things and all the struggles and all the judgment that God's going to put on a condemned world, that he is the Savior. Amen. And at the very end of Revelation, it talks about, John uses the word, behold. If you can throw that on the screen. Behold, I make all things new. This is God declaring over his people, his creation. God, I make all things new. If God is, after all that has been happened out of all of the eternity, all of what God created, for him still to be in the new business, I say thank you, Jesus. That despite everything, our address, the Bible says, we are in the world. We're just not of the world. Hello? And it's difficult sometimes when you've got your Bible on your dashboard. You've got the bumper stickers. You've got the Jubilee decal. You've got all the things that mark you as a Christian. You've got all the trappings that mark you as a Christian. But sometimes it's difficult to tell if you are. Hello? When we get this thing mixed up that we live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. Why? Because God is making all things new. In other words, our eternal address needs to be in heaven, not on earth. Don't live as if this is your final resting place. It is for your body, of course, but our spirits, they're gonna live forever. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but oftentimes our struggles, our fears, our addictions, the things of this world consume our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit. So you're hearing me say something around, hey, I gotta be new. God wants to make me new. But until you let go of what is temporary and get a hold of what is eternal, you will never, 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 never let go of it. Focus on what's eternal, y'all. Are you hearing me, church? Focus on what's eternal. If our church as a whole, if we will realize that there are people that are dying and going to hell every single day, there are people that are making decisions between whether I shoot up, whether I crack up, whether I sleep around, whether I drink and get drunk, whether I take, whatever it may be, whatever the deadness issue is, if somehow, someway, if you and I can be that bridge, if you and I can be the reach, if you and I can carry the gospel on our feet, come on, y'all. We got to know that we're temporary. We're just passing through. There's an urgency to my spirit this morning. There's an urgency because I believe there are a lot of people right outside those doors that are so hungry. Oh, they're so hungry. In the last few weeks, we've been able to minister to literally about 1,000 people and just share in the love of God. Man, they're hungry, y'all. There's something in the atmosphere. There's something in culture. There's something happening around the world. There is a hunger, y'all. All we have to do is preach the gospel. You and I can't save anybody. You and I can't heal anybody. You and I can't make somebody right, but I know somebody that can. His name is Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus, y'all. Preach Jesus. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Preach hope. Preach joy. Preach love, y'all. Show it. Demonstrate it. Live it out. Don't let it just be a bumper sticker on your car, but let's walk this thing out. Why? Because we want to have all things new in our life. I want to have eternal address. Last one I want to leave you with. W. N standing for a new name. E standing for eternal address. W is, what's inside of me? For you see, when I become new, when God makes me new, that verse becomes so real in my life. 2 Corinthians. Go ahead and put it up there. 2 Corinthians becomes real for you and I. If you underline things in your Bible, I encourage you to underline this verse. That when I belong to Christ, I become a what person? Shout it, y'all. I become a what? I become a new person. That old life is gone, and a new life has begun. This is the amazing thing, guys. I was chewing on this verse, and many of y'all have heard this verse before. I underlined that word begun. And I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you mean by that? Don't you mean that when I came up to this altar and I accepted the Lord as my Lord and my Savior, aren't you saying that instantaneously, God just wiped clean all my fears, all my struggles, all my sin issues, all the things I worry about, I stress about? And Holy Spirit said, yes, but now your new life begins. Now you got to walk it out. Now you got to walk this thing out. For you see, making the decision is easy. It's the walking out part that's hard. Can I have an amen? Making a decision to do something in your life, it's sort of like a New Year's. How many of y'all made New Year's resolutions back on January 1? How many of y'all have already broken them? I have. The last few weeks, I've just, between my wife and the Holy Spirit, I've been convicted about getting my schedule back in balance, spending time exercising, spending time doing something I really enjoy, which, by the way, running sucks, just for any of y'all runners out there, so you're never going to get me to run. I've done that before. I did a marathon. I can call that one good. Check. But there's something about you and I, rather than just becoming part of a New Year's resolution, I have to want something in order to make something happen in my life. Amen? I got to want Christ. I got to know Christ. I have to live Christ in order for something to be crucified on the inside of me and walk it out. It's the same thing with exercise. It's the same thing with dieting. It's the same thing with any kind of new thing you're trying to do in your life. It takes work. Can I have an amen? The gospel takes work, you all. We have to be spending time in prayer, spending time in worship. We have to be fellowshipping with one another. I thank God for every single person that joined our church today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But here's the work part. You got to come back. Amen? You got to come back. This gospel thing, it'll be like sandpaper some days. It'll be like balloons someday. We'll pat you on the back some days. We'll give you a swift kick some days. That's just the way how this thing works, amen? But this is what I know, that all the time God is working on the inside of me. The Bible says that out of the heart, what happens? Everything flows out of it. Everything flows out of my heart. So in other words, I got to be asking the Holy Spirit daily, will you transform? Will you work on the condition of my heart? I don't want my heart to be evil. I don't want my heart to be impure. I don't want my heart to be jacked up by culture. I don't want my heart to be affected by everything around me. God, make my heart pure. David said that. God, make my heart pure. The Bible talks about in Romans that I must daily renew my mind. Have you ever noticed that your heart may be in good shape, but your mind is a hot mess? Hello? Your heart may be right, but your mind is not. And believe me, the Bible talks about how do you renew your mind? How do you transform your mind? There's only one way to do it. It's through binge-watching Netflix. Oh, wait. Scratch that one. It's through asking 5 different people what their opinion of what I should do next is. It's about reading the next greatest self-help book. No, the only way that you and I transform our mind is to get in the Word of God. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? So that whatever you and I are walking through, whatever we're going to face today, whatever we're going to face tomorrow, I know that God has a word. God has a scripture. God has the Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. We can't just become a legalistic church without the Spirit of God. Amen? God is here. God can work. God can speak. I had a young person this week. I was talking to them. And they got so excited. They said, for the very first time, I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God. Man, there's something about the life, there's something about the word coming to life through the Spirit of God. Amen? Come on, if you're gonna be new on the inside, God's gotta work on your heart. God's gotta work on your mind. If I can get those two things in alignment with what God says over my life, then you know what? What comes out of my mouth will line up. Can I have an amen? For you see, I know that becoming new is not about me just cleaning out my closet, my spiritual closet. I want to challenge us as a church this morning as I wrap up. The new actually is causing us to be transformed. The new is causing you and I to be transformed from the inside out. For you see, when you and I take on Christ, when you and I receive Christ, when you and I walk in Christ, there may not be a physical transformation, although I actually have seen it. Oftentimes it happens in your face. It happens in your face. When someone becomes alive to Christ, that weight comes off of them. It's the same way that someone that has been set free of alcohol or set free of drugs, their face, their countenance, something shifts on the inside of their body and it causes this change on the outside. I believe accepting Christ is no different. When something happens on the inside of me, it comes on the outside of me. I can't wait to smile. I can't wait to share a good word. I can't wait to hug somebody. A while ago, had somebody come up to me and they're like, you guys are the huggingest church I've ever seen. I didn't know exactly how to accept that. So me being the smart guy I am, I said, is that a compliment? Well, it was a him. And then I proceeded to hug him. Amen? Hey, if you got a neighbor, just hug a neighbor right beside you. Come on, just do it right now. Yeah, come on, just. If you're watching online, it's a virtual hug. Man, I thank God for the love of Christ. I thank God for the love of God, y'all. I feel him in this room this morning. I feel hope in this room this morning. I feel a joy and a peace. I feel a knowing that if I give God everything I have, if I give him all my warts, all my issues, all my worries, if I give him all my strains, my struggles, my stresses, God, if I give you everything, Lord, you'll make the new. Freddie, Siobhan, come up here real quick. I just saw you. Get up here real quick. Hurry. Come on, give these guys a hand. See, I do this so they don't have a lot of time to run out the back doors right now. Take 2 minutes. What does the new mean to you guys, what you're sharing with me this week?
The new for me and her, it wasn't even that long ago. We were both battling addiction, homelessness. December 19th. We moved down here to Florida, kind of running away from all of that, I guess. We came here. She was painting a picture that day, too. I was watching her paint that picture the whole time, and we answered the invitation, and we both gave our lives to Christ that day. And I don't think either one of us has ever looked back since then.
This church has just really done a lot for us, even on that song today. bringing through the darkness into the light. That really just meant a lot. And everyone here that's ever like prayed with us, prayed for us, it's meant a lot, because, you know, with our history, people always judge us and everything. And so many people here have just, you know, told us that, you know, we're perfect in His eyes. And it's just really meant a lot. Thank you.
Come on, can you give God a big hand? Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, I feel Him in the room this morning. I feel His life-giving power to make all things new. When I heard their testimony this week, walking out of drugs, walking out of jail, walking out of all the things that God brought them out, and then on a Sunday, December the 19th, God made all things new. God has provided them with supernatural jobs. Freddie was sharing that he's just had, since he got the job, maybe in just the last couple months, that he's been promoted a couple times. This is what I do know. If we put our hope, if we put our trust, if we put our fears, our flaws, if we put our failures in Him. And it's not until you and I have that confrontation with Him. It's not until you and I get convicted of my sin, my struggles, my addictions, my fears. It's not until then, until I say, God, I give it to You. I can't carry it any longer. Freddie told, they said, I can't carry this any longer. The weight of my deadness is killing me. From the inside out. Come on, with every eye closed this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. On the count of three, I'm going to give you an opportunity to lift your hand. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, if you never made Him Lord over your life, if you are dead and you want to come to life, if you want to say, Jesus, I want to make You Lord. I want to make You Savior. I want to give You the very, I want to give You the very worst of who I am, the very best of who I am. I want to give it over to You. God, if You did it for Freddie, if You did it for Siobhan, if You did it for me, God, will You do it for me? Come on, in the name of Jesus, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Come on, nobody moving around, nobody leaving. Just give me a few more minutes. If I'm talking to you this morning, if that's you, I want to experience the newness of God. On the count of three, lift your hands. One, two. Don't let your pride stop you. Don't walk out these doors the same way that you came in. Three, lift your hand. Lift your hand all over the room. All over the room. All over the room. All over the room. My God. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Come on, I see your hands. Come on, just lift your hands. Just leave them lifted. Come on, if you have your hands raised, meet me down front. Take one more step. Meet me down front. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, prayer team. Come on, come with them. Come with them, come with them, come with them, come with them. Come on, if you got your hand lifted. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on.